Now today is not that cold, right? That is a good day to come to church to worship, right? And it is nice that to have the young people with us, okay? Because this is the future of the church, right? So today I'm going to talk about to be focused on Jesus Christ. Now the scripture that I'm going to use is at John chapter 6 verse 1 to 15. And this is the story of Jesus feeds 5,000. How many of you have heard Jesus feed 5,000 for so many times? Raise up your hand. Right? So many times, right? Now, but today I want to go through this story again. It is all because if we look into the details of this story, that we can find that this is what we are. Okay, we are in the story today. Okay. Jesus feed 5,000. It is famous and well known. It's all because it was a miracle that it happens to so many people. Talking about over 5,000 people. Okay. All the gospel books recorded many miracles, but only Jesus feed 5,000. That is in each of the gospel book. However, although the same event was recorded, each of the gospel book each detail the same event in different perspective. Now, the most descriptive one was mentioned in the book of John, chapter 6, 1 to 15. After carefully studying this passage, we can see that in this section, okay, it is an independent passage. It tells us very clearly about the beginning and the end of the story. When does it happen? Where does it happen? And who is involved? And what is the story about? So we can divide this short passage into structural form like this. So we have verse 1 to 15. Verse 1 and verse 15 just tell us the beginning and the end of the story. It begins with Jesus appears, and then it ends with Jesus withdrew. Then we go in one level up at verse 2 and verse 14. Verse 2 tell us why those Jewish people follow Jesus. And because of what they are thinking, okay, after the miracle, what is the conclusion that they make up? Okay. Then another level up is talking about verse 5 to 9. It's talking about the disciples' doubt, okay, that they really don't have any clue how to solve this problem, that to feed 5,000, how, right? And then on the verse 12 to 13, it tells us what is the God's providence, okay? So even though disciples are doubt on how to solve the problem, but Jesus has a solution. And then verse 10 to 11, and that is the main part, is talking about the Jesus miracle. Okay. But today, I'm not just going to talk about the Jesus miracle. I would like to focus on verse 5 to 9, it's talking about the disciples' doubt. Now, let's look at the first level that is a black in color, this one, okay? It starts with the appearance of Jesus and ends with Jesus withdrawing to the mountain. Very clearly stated. Now, John chapter 6, verse 1, it starts with sometime after this. Then it tells us that the past event is already finished and we are going to start to talk with another story. Okay, then this is the beginning. Okay. Now in John chapter 5, Jesus was healing the lame in a pool near the sheep gate in Bethesda. Okay. Now, and in John chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Jesus just crossed the Sea of Galilee. Okay. The change of location tells us Jesus has moved on. Okay, so it's from one place to the other place now. So at the time when we read the Bible, okay, we can use this kind of method in order to separate, okay, the whole chapter into different little passage, so that we can easily to define, okay, this is one incident, and then this is the next incident. By changing of the scene, by changing of the time, and by changing of the main character, then we can separate the passage, and we can find out what is the meaning of it. Then on to the second level, that is a green one. Okay. Here, the main character is now changed from Jesus to Jews now. Okay. These Jews first appeared in the book of John in chapter 5. So at the time when Jesus healed the lamb in the pool of Bethesda, these Jewish, okay, they were all there. Okay. When Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath, he was immediately questioned by some of the Jews. Now, Jesus had to explain to them in length, and they did not accept his explanation. This is what it happened in John chapter 5. Okay. But there were people who did not pay attention whether Jesus healed on the Sabbath, and they followed Jesus as he continued to perform miracles. So they followed Jesus. The only thing that they want to see is if Jesus is able to continue to perform the miracles. And verse 4, then it clearly states that this event happened near the Jewish Passover. Now the purpose to guide the readers to connect it with verse 14, concluding that Jesus was the prophet who is to come into the world. Now the history behind the Jewish Passover takes us back to the time of Moses, of how he led the Israelites out of 400 years of slavery under the Egyptian Pharaoh. Now Judah was taken captive by Babylon after the year 586 before Christ, subsequently by Persia, Greek, and Roman. And that is another 400 years have passed. So, and since then, another era has come and gone, and they are waiting for another leader to emerge. Now, last time, Moses came to their rescue. And now the scripture says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I commanded him. That is in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. So the Jewish, that they know there is another prophet to come, but they don't know who is this prophet. Okay, so these Jews who saw Jesus performing these miracles of healings, then they came up with the conclusion that Jesus is indeed the prophet mentioned in this scripture. And as Jesus continued to heal the sick and perform miracles, the people clearly concluded he is the prophet. So the Jews that who follow Jesus are not because of believing Jesus is the Son of God. They just want to have someone who is powerful enough to lead them to fight with the Roman government and get themselves independent. How about you? What is your purpose of following Jesus? Are you just looking for something that to your own good? Or you want to see the miracle that happened unto you, isn't it? Now, a lot of people that they believe in Christ, okay, is all at their at their downside of their life, okay? So when they have problem, then maybe because of a marriage problem, because of the job, because of the health issue, whatever. So to give you the downside, then one day a friend comes to you, say, "Oh, we can all pray into Jesus. Jesus may help you." So at that time you know about Jesus, and then at that time you believe Jesus is going to heal. So you believe in Christ. Then afterwards, what happened? Once the downside is gone, okay, everything goes back to normal. Then you forgot about Jesus. Then you don't come to church at all. Those examples that it just happened every day. So today, when we decided to follow Jesus, okay, it's not only because of Jesus can help us to overcome all our obstacles. Okay, it's all because of Jesus is really the Son of God, and He is the one worthy for following. Okay. Yesterday, in the Facebook post, I saw a message that is very meaningful. That message said, we all happy because of Jesus died for us. But how many of us is willing to live for Jesus? Right? We have the Good Friday, we have the Easter that we all celebrate. Oh, because Jesus died for us. Okay? But what does it mean to you? Right? I can tell you a little bit of my own testimony is Good Friday. Usually, okay, that is the first Friday after spring. So it means that is the first long weekend that after the whole long winter, right? So a lot of people is already preparing to go out town for the long weekend, right? So Good Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you have a good long weekend. So talking about 10 years ago, okay? No, not that long. Maybe it's 6-7 years ago. Okay, that all those Good Friday service, that I didn't go to Good Friday service because that is a nice long weekend. So a lot of times that I planned to go out town, okay, with my family. One year, I didn't go out for the long weekend. Okay, so I go back to church for the Good Friday worship. Usually Good Friday worship, the main focus is on Jesus died, right? And Jesus died is because of our sin. And that one, it really touched me on that year. Okay. Well, it is not because I have any problem or whatever, but somehow that message has really touched me. So from that year on, okay, I said to myself and my family, say, there is no more out town on a Good Friday long weekend, okay? Because Jesus died for us is because of our sin, but we forget about it, that we just go out on our tongue at the day that when we memory his die. And so from that year on, I never miss any Good Friday worship, okay? All because of Jesus died for us. Now then, when we go up another level, go into the blue level, okay. Then when we look at the four Gospels, the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke, all records this event happened just before sunset. It is not just because of that it's a whole big group of people that they follow Jesus to hear his teaching. So Jesus prepared dinner for them. No, this is not like that. It's all just because at this event is just happened right before the sunset, and it's supposed to be dinner time now. Okay, but how can they get food to eat? Right. So now it is at the meal time, and everyone was hungry. So what to do? So Jesus posed this question to Philip: where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, Jesus asked Philip because Galilee was where Philip had lived, and of course, Philip would know where as to find food to buy for this follower who came to listen to Jesus. Is there any restaurant around, or is there any supermarket around that they can buy food to feed these 5,000? Of course, Jesus knew that there were nowhere near that they could buy the food, because they are at the wilderness, that is far from the town. And even so, how do you expect a place of eatery or supermarket that you can buy the food to prepare for 5,000 people in a short period of time? Now, to the east of Toronto, approximately 2.5 years drive, 2.5 hours driving, there is a town called Belleville. How many of you have been there? Belleville. Yeah, just before Kingston, right? One year on the Canada Day, I went there, okay, because that Canada Day on that year is a long weekend. Then we went to camping in the east of Kingston. Okay, so we decided to take another day off beforehand, okay? Then so we stopped by Belleville, okay, take the hotel for overnight and then move on to the trip. That day, that was the Canada Day. Well, in Belleville, Canada Day, the whole town, okay, talking about shopping, talking about restaurant, they are all closed. That you cannot get anything to eat. So we go out, but yes, we didn't know that. So we went out to, we drove around to see if there are any restaurant that we can eat. And now we find that, wow, even those are brand name franchisee, right? Like Eastside Mario and stuff like that, they're all closed for Canada Day. You cannot get anything to eat. Fortunately, the hotel that we stayed at, that they have the full kitchen. So they have the stove, they have the microwave, they have the cooking utensils and stuff. Then end up, we got to stop by Shoppers Drug Mart, okay, in order to buy all those TV food, okay, all those freezer food. Then we bring it back into the hotel, microwave or just heat it up, and then we eat on that day. At the same year, I got to go back to Belleville again. But this time, now, the first time, I was there with only my family, so four of us. The second time, I went to Belleville, then that is now with a family of 16 now, okay, because I went with my in-laws' family, that the whole party for 16 people. So this time, I told them that, don't wait until Monday for the long weekend to get something to eat. There is no way that you can get something to eat on Monday. So we better have a good dinner on Sunday night. Okay, Sunday they open, but Monday is a statute holiday that they're not open. So Sunday night. So Sunday night that we drove by, and then there is a sign, say, prime rib for $30 per person. And say, okay, prime rib for $30 per person is still good. Okay, so we decided to have the dinner at that restaurant. So once we get into the restaurant, the first question we ask for the waitress is, do you have all 16 pieces of the roast beef in stock? If not, we might have to split up. Some of them take the roast beef and some of them take something else, right? Then the waitress got to go into the kitchen to ask for it, to see if there is enough available for the party of 16. Then end up they come and say, oh, yes, we do have all 16 for you, okay? Then this is good. Then we have the roast beef dinner at that time. So as you can see, even in a town today, not necessary have enough for you to eat. And think about 2,000 years ago in the wilderness for 5,000 people. Is it possible to have enough for them to eat? That is impossible. So now we know it is impossible to find an eatery to serve 5,000. So the Bible tells us that Jesus already knew the answer to his question. So why ask Philip? Of course, this is a test. Now then, let's see how Philip replied. He says, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Now, in different translations of the Bible, that you can see different meanings here. Okay, some Bible, it will say, oh, it will take more than half a year wages. Some of the Bible will say it will cost more than 200 silver coins in order to buy the food. Okay. Now, they have the same meaning. Okay. Because at that time, a normal household income was talking about one silver coin per day. So if talking about over 200 silver coins, it really costs about more than half a year of the wages, okay, for the household. So we look at it and say it is just a fairly big amount of money. But the problem is, we can see Philip, he didn't even answer what was asked. Jesus asked, where to buy? But Philip replied, not enough money to buy. Right? So, isn't it funny that Jesus asked one thing, but Philip is just answered something else. Okay. Now, this is my guess, okay? Is perhaps Philip answered the way that he did because he already investigated and concluded that even if there was a place to buy, there wouldn't be enough money to pay for it. So Philip was quick to make such conclusion. He answered the next question instead. Then, how about the other disciple, Andrew? He spoke up. He is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go among so many? And that is all that the boy have. Right? You can tell that this boy is from a not so well-off family because loaves that are made from barley are somewhat rough and coarse. Whereas if it were made with wheat, the loaves will be soft and fine. And of course, it will cost more. Now, 2,000 years ago, that if the loaf is made of barley, that sells cheaper. Okay, if it is made by wheat, that is sell more expensive. And this is the reverse of today, right? Today, if we buy something that is made with barley, it will cost you more because this is considered as a healthy food for today. Okay, so the concept is different. Now, and as the two fishes this child can carry with him, then we would think they were not very big. Okay, they were just as small, maybe maximum about 2 pounds each. Right? Then with the 5 bread and 4 pounds of fish, okay, really, how can it feed for 5,000? Certainly, that is not enough. So both Philip and Andrew do not have any clue about it. What to do. For today, that we do like Philip and Andrew. Andrew and Philip is with a lack of faith. Now, Philip and Andrew focus on what they see and in areas of what they lack of. And the result was they were clueless as to how to come up with a solution. Now, of course, we can magically come up with something with nothing or path change from lacking to abundance. Okay, that is not just possible for today. In the year 2010, okay, I had thought of studying theology at that time. But at that time, my concern was not enough money, and I don't have time for it. Okay, so this thought, then we just fly by in my mind. Okay, at the year of 2012, I went to East Africa, Uganda, for a short-term mission for 2 weeks. So in the same trip, that daytime that we went out to visit the people, okay, to tell them there is going to be a new church set up, that we tell the people about the gospel in the daytime. And then nighttime, okay, nothing to do. So we all just sit together, okay, to have the sharing for, oh, what happened there today? Who did you talk to? The people that you saw, okay, what do you think? That we have the little chat like this. Suddenly, Reverend Young, then who is the one that you saw last week? Okay, Reverend Young asked me, "Hey Paul, have you considered of being a full-time ministry?" Then, no. This is such a question that is just it just pop up suddenly, right? The first response that you respond is, "Oh, come on, Reverend Young, okay? Don't just kidding on me, right? This is impossible. How can I be full-time ministry, right?" But this question, okay, it really stayed in my mind for a long time. Then after I come back from Uganda, I really sit down seriously to think about getting into the theology school to have my study. So this time, I'm not thinking about do I have enough money or do I have time to do it. I first go to look for the right theology school, okay, to find out what is the syllabus and what is the timetable that it will fit my schedule. Now at that time, I did not have the bachelor degree from university. So I cannot just go right into the master program. So then I got to go back to university to get back my bachelor degree, right? So in theology school, they have a program called DCP, a Diploma Completion Program. So it helps you to complete the university degree. And that is the intensive program. You don't go to school every day. You go to school every week on Wednesday afternoon from the classes from 12 to 6. So once a week, every 5 weeks that you will finish one subject. And then you take a week off, and another 5 weeks, another subject will go on. Okay, that is a very intensive program. Then think about at the time that you finish that day, you have only 2 weeks in order to finish all the paper, and then you start another course. Okay, and it takes me, supposedly, it should take 30 subjects. Okay, but fortunately, I was in university before, but just not graduated, so I get 11 subjects that can transfer the credit to this one. And I only did the 19 main course about it. And that 19 main course, that because you got to fit their schedule, that some of the classes you take, some of the courses you don't take, and it drags for 4 years long. Okay, so I thought, hey, that is possible. It's only one afternoon in a week. I should be able to do it, right? Then another problem comes. At that time, I was an employee in a company, and the boss is not a Christian. How can he understand that you need to take every Wednesday afternoon off in order to go study theology, right? To them, this is meaningless, right? To me, yes, it is, okay? So the only solution that I have to take is I quit the job. So I quit the job and start my self-employed. So that I think, oh, I quit the job, start the self-employed. Then I can easily manage my time. That every Wednesday afternoon, that I just don't take any clients' call, just go to school. Right, it will be flexible. But the problem is, if you don't have the full-time job, it means that you are not secure with a stable income. Right? So you go by self-employed, then you are the salesman, you are the technician, you are the customer service, you do everything. Okay? Is it possible that you can still make enough income for your household expenditure? Right? But praise the Lord. 4 years at the seminary came and end like a flash. At the first class that I went into the class, I thought, wow, there is another 19 subjects to go for. And the one who sit next to you, oh, this is my last one. I'm going to graduate after it. And you are the first one and waiting for another 19 subjects. At that time, you really think, oh, it takes too long for it. Okay, but this time is different, because this time is you studied it for God. It's not studied for yourself. Okay, so 4 years has passed. Okay, and praise the Lord, by God's grace, that His providence is sufficient. And today, I'm able to be here to serve the God, to spread the news with you. So, that at a time when we focus on Jesus, okay, then miracle will happen. Now, then the second level, or the second part of the blue level is, when all the people have eaten their fill, Jesus called his disciples to gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered by those who had eaten. When they gathered were 1,000 times more than what they start with. The good is rewarded to those who does a good deed. The reward may not always be monetary. And I have to clarify that the purpose of offering is not for recognition. Okay, it's not because of I want to get something good from God, that's why I offer. No, this is not the main part. Okay, the most important part is that when we give, we don't have to worry about ourselves because God will surely take care of us. Okay, we offer to serve. Okay, it's not because of trying to get reward from our Lord. Okay, it's not because for our own good. It's all because of God. It's all because of Jesus. Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. The people were gathered and sat in rows, about 5,000 in number. Now in the Bible it said 5,000 in male. Then how about the females? And how about the kids? Right? So it is certainly it is talking about feeding more than 5,000. Okay? Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish as much as they wanted. Jesus added to the quantity of food as they were distributed to people. When Jesus distributed, it was not a set portion. It is all you can eat. That you take as much as you can. This is how Jesus did the miracle. Okay? So when they are finished, okay, everyone in the scene, that over 5,000 people, they are all really filled up. Okay? And still, there is another 12 basket left over. Okay? So you can see, if someone that is able to offer, okay, or if someone willing to offer, then Jesus will turn it into a tenfold, hundredfold result. That Jesus' providence is abundance. Now, if we start our own business, okay, then the first thing that you will worry about is, do you have enough sales? Right? Because sales is very important. This is your revenue. That is your income. Then, once you can sell, and now you start to worry about a cash flow to purchase inventory. Okay. 2 months ago, that I submitted a bid to the town of Richmond Hill that to change all the card access system in the town of Richmond Hill for so many buildings. Then we run through the whole town of Richmond Hill to find out how many buildings, how many panels, how many doors that they have. Okay, and then we do the calculation. Wow, that is over 300,000 in order to get the job. Then we think about, oh, where are we going to get the money to do it? Okay, so even though if you have the sales, but you need to worry about the cash flow in order to buy, right? Okay, if you manage to get the cash flow to buy the inventory, then the next thing is, do you have enough inventory to sell? Okay, so it is very important that to see where the resources is. Okay, a couple years ago, there was a labor strike at an automobile parts manufacturer. So even the large automobile manufacturing company, that they don't have parts to build their car, okay, eventually the whole plan that has to be stopped because there is no parts to build, right? So all the workers that they get a temporary layoff and wait until the strike over, then they can start to get the resources and they start to build a car. So we can see that do you have enough to build? That is very important. That's why Jesus asked Philip, okay, where to buy? Okay. Jesus is not asking Philip, do we have enough? Jesus, where to buy? So where to buy is very important. So when we are in the business, if we don't have the cash flow, it's not a problem because we can always go to the bank to get a loan. Okay? Then after the transaction done, you collect the receivable, then you can just pay back the loan. So cash flow, that is okay, that you can manage. But if you cannot buy anything to sell, then what to do? Even you have the sales, you don't have nothing to the customer. Okay, that's why when we focus on Jesus Christ instead of ourselves, then miracles then happen. That's why Jesus asked Philip where to buy. Okay. At that time, Philip and Andrew, they just focus on what they have. And they just only focus on what they lacked of. Okay, that they are not looking at Jesus, so they have no clue. Okay, but Jesus asked them where to buy. Now this child, that he offered up all he has, the five bread and two fish, Jesus could turn that into more than sufficient. Now of course, Jesus is the almighty, powerful Lord. He has the power and authority to change from zero to all. So if Jesus wanted to feed 5,000, he need not require five loaves and two fishes. But with five loaves and two fishes, it brings us to a deeper understanding and experience. Okay. Now we recall earlier that I said the area around Galilee was a poor village. This child might have just offered up all the food that his family has for this meal. And perhaps he may even get scolded by his mother for taking away for this food and giving them away, right? The scripture does not tell us the age of the child, but I believe that he offered the loaves and fish out of his pure heart. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is for the little children because such is where they belong. Meaning that with a pure heart, one can enter the kingdom of heaven. It is the one who is pure in heart that one would be faithful to give willingly. Food was critical to this child's family and gave it as an offering. What is that heaven most important to you? Now, at the time when we are talking about serving in church, okay, we're all talking about offering. Offering, it can be in terms of money and also in terms of time, right? Money is so important to me because I love money. Because if you see you have more in your bank account, then you will feel secure, right? So money is important. The second thing that is important to you is about time. Today, everyone has a busy schedule. And not only the adult, the children has busy schedule too, right? On Saturday, Sunday, they all go to the math tutoring, then go to the piano class or whatever. That every day that they all filled up, they don't have time at all. Okay, but time is so important to me because I need time to make money, right? So eventually, then money is most important to us. Okay. So in the four gospel book, okay, Jesus talk about the most is heaven. And the second thing that he talk about the most is money. Because Jesus know to all the people, money is so important for them that they really not want to offer in money. What about us? Now, would we be like Andrew, seeing that we have too little and is too embarrassed to give what little as offering? Or perhaps we see that what we do or given is so minor that it does not contribute to any good at all, so we might as well just forget about it. Or even worse, if you see no one is willing to give, then why should I be the one to give? Why should I be always the one to give, right? Maybe our attitude is, okay, just wait and see before we decided to offer up what we have, to see if the one next to you is going to do the offering. If not, then why should I do it, right? We have too many excuses not offering what we have because we always put ourselves first before others. Our God is one who wants us to serve with Him. When we are willing offering up what little we have, God will turn what we give and multiply it tenfold and hundredfold to show His glory. The child gave 5 barley loaves. Barley is a very coarse ingredient, okay? But Jesus still uses it. When we serve today, don't think that we must be the best or perfect in order to serve. It is not like that. But Jesus used an imperfect resource to show His glory. Will not Jesus use you too? Now, recently, I attended an evangelical conference organized by the Showers of Blessing Ministry and heard a testimony about a mafia leader. Now, he is 71 years old now. Okay, and he got his graduated from the theological seminary at the age of 70. Okay, now he is willing to be used by God. He now travels all over the world sharing his testimony and the gospel. Here on earth, all of us are somehow broken and imperfect, but if we are willing to offer up ourselves to our God, He will surely use us for His good work. So the willingness to serve is the most important part. Okay? If you are willing to serve, even though you know you are not perfect, then you are willing to spend time to learn about it and try and get a good job and get a good job done. This is what Jesus looks for. A story of 5 loaves and 2 fishes remind us that today we are very much like Philip and Andrew, often focusing on the wrong things. This child who offered his 5 loaves and 2 fishes reminds us that no matter how little or even with what we don't have, as long as we are willing, God will surely bless you. The 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left remind us of God's grace in the past. Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay? They were full of complaints and disobedience, but even their shoes were not worn when they arrived at the promised land. So what we do today, we may not immediately see the reward or blessings, but what is sure is that God will not let us bear what we cannot carry. We need to focus on Jesus Christ because everything comes from Him. With Jesus, no matter how broken we are, as long as we are willing, God will use us to be blessing to the others. So today, MCLCC start English ministry, right? You guys start with a handful numbers of people, but I believe that you guys are willing to serve, and then for sure God will bless you, that to bring us more and more people especially the second generation, the young people, the teens. Okay? This is what had happened to our church as well. 10 years ago, the English congregation, almost 80% left our church. At that time, the English pastor talked to our senior pastor, said, "Oh, there is no way that you're going to start your English ministry again. Okay, I'm going to take all those people that to start up a new church." All right? So then at that time, we have only 20% people left in our English congregation. And same thing as you, as about you, talking about 10 to 20 people only. Okay? Unfortunately, another 8 years passed, okay? We have built up our English congregation. Another 8 years in 2014, that in our church, we had another crisis, okay? After that crisis, then our numbers of people in the English congregation just drop again, go back down to 10, 15, 20, and that's it, okay? Then another 3 years passed today, okay? Just like last time, that I can bring up a band, that the Eagles, right? That to come to worship with you people. Okay? We believe that if we are willing to do it, God will give us the people. So in the summer camp, that we serve over 80 people in the summer camp. And then with that 80 people, half of them, about 40 people, they came in for the volunteer work as a summer camp worker. And in that 40 people, then we have one quarter of them stay in church that to worship with us and come to join our fellowship. And then from time to time, we have people just walk in, okay, from the street, that they just walk in, come into our English congregation. Okay. As you can see, okay, I don't speak fluent English, okay, but the thing is, I believe if I'm willing to do it, okay, God will use me. And our church, if we are willing to continue to develop the English ministry, okay, because the second generation are all English speaking, so that is important to us, okay, we are sure that God is going to use us in order to bring up the second generation of the young people that to follow Christ. Okay, so may God bless you. Okay. Let us bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the five loaves of bread and two fishes. That in this story, that sure that we can see Jesus, you are God. Jesus, you are the one that who can perform the miracle. But on the other hand, that you teach us that we got to focus on you. Okay? We all know that we are insufficient. We all know we are inadequate. Okay? But may God teach us, may God help us, that to give us a heart of willingness, that you come to serve you. With the help of you, that we know that you can turn nothing to be something, and turn around ourselves, that to make us to be able to serve you. And we, at the time when we focus in you, then we can see the miracle. That may I ask, Lord, you, that in order to help us, to encourage us, so that we can, with our heart, that willing to serve, that at the time, even though we are not sufficient, then we are willing to spend the time in order to learn. So is for the good of your work. That we know that at the time when we serve, then you can take care the rest for us. Okay, we put the faith in you that we don't see what we don't have anymore. We don't see what we lack of anymore. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.